I'm Sam Stokes, and I work for Microsoft as a technology evangelist. One of the things that's exciting about working for Microsoft these days is the ability to work with open source, which was not really a great thing back in the days before our current CEO. So I'm happy to bring to you these sessions about R and how to use it in your work. But I wanted to go back over and just do some quick reviews. So the next few sessions will be review of how to use R and at a very low level where you're sort of, you know, we're a beginner, we're all beginners at this. And so let's take a look at some of the basics of R. So the references for this series, short series of videos, is that if you read any book this fall, then read Hands-On Programming with R. The author, Garrett Grumman, has done a great job of showing us how to use R from the ground up, creating our own simulations of dice, cards, and other things. And this is a great way for people to begin to think about game design. Often game designers don't realize that if a game doesn't produce statistics, it's not very interesting over the long run. So this book is used extensively for training, and it's relatively inexpensive. Many R books can go for over $100. This one's $31, and with the appropriate coupons, you can get it down as far as $15. So where can you use this material? This material can be used with Common Core state standards, specifically high school statistics and probability, conditional probability, and the rules of probability. A link is provided in the PowerPoint slide deck. So in this case, while we investigate the independent roles of die, this could be stated under the Common Core standards as understanding that two events, A and B, where A is one die and B is a second die, are independent if the probability of A and B occurring together is a product of their probabilities. We can use this characterization to determine if they are really independent. For other considerations, most top colleges like UCLA and Wharton use the RStudio and R in many of their statistics classes. So what is a die and what is a dice? We need to be very disciplined about our definition of a die. A die is a cube with the numbers 1 through 6 represented by dots. The sides opposite on the cube add up to 7. This is a long-term tradition dating back to Roman times. A dice is the use of two die, and in a fair and legal throw of a pair of die or dice, each die are independent of the outcome of the other die. So let's create our own die. In R, you generate your die by creating an atomic vector with 6 numbers in it. Below the atom here, we see the die is assigned an atomic vector of counting numbers, including 1 through 6 inclusive. So if we're going to make a dice, how do we do that? Well, a dice is 2 die in our experiments. And so we would use a code similar to maybe sample sides equal to whatever, and we'll take a look at the correct utilization of this. Remember, protocode or prototyping type of codes don't have to match exactly what you're going to program into your system. Once we have done that, let's toggle back to 6, and we'll go to 7. And why aren't there any pairs when we run our die? Well, we haven't run it yet, but if we run our die using this code, sample die, size equals 2, what happens is that in R, you pull the results out of one box and use it, and you take the results of box 2 and use it, and you don't put those results back in. Now, you notice that that's the default, which means that it's probably pretty frequently used, and you may want to investigate cases where pulling the values out of your box and using them and not putting them back in is important. So to reuse values, you need to set replace equal true, and true must be all capitals. So it's an important thing to replace your values in some cases, but in other cases it isn't important to replace them. It's more important not to replace them, so once you use them, you don't go back in and reuse those values. So how do we create a function? Well, you create your function using curly braces. And so functions are written. Your function is assigned a function with parentheses, which would be where arguments are placed, and then the value of the function. Why curly braces, you might be asking yourself? Well, square braces were already used for arrays when the question came up, and that's about it for explanations. Although it is known that the other choice that was being decided on it in the 70s was dollar signs. So I think we are all happy with curly braces instead of dollar signs. So our function might look like this. We assign a function to row dim bones. That's the name of the function. We don't give it a default value. That's why the argument space between the two parentheses is empty. We assign the atomic vector 1 through 6 inclusive to the die. Now we define a dice. It picks up the sample, the die, the size 2. We replace the values, and then we're finding the mean value of the dice. We place the right parentheses here and we return to the normal cursor. We'll see how that works in just a few minutes. Next, arguments encoding an R are a good thing. Adding a default will prevent error messages if you think that not having the error messages is a good idea. Now, remember, arguments with your manager, not such a good idea. All right, row dim bones. We assign the function, and here you'll notice inside the parentheses is the randomizer equals 1 to 6 inclusive. A dice is assigned sample randomizer. The size of the sample is 2, and we replace the values back into our sample set. Now we run a function called mean, which is a built-in function, on the dice. We then close the curly braces, and we get our regular cursor back. So that's what we'll be covering in RStudio over the next few minutes. We're going to switch to RStudio. So, okay. You'll notice that I have source up here. Source may come up in your initial screen not being seen, and so you would hit New File in RScript. Next, in console, we would type in our first test value, and this might be, in our case, die. Is assigned C, an atomic vector 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And now if we hit enter, and we really don't see anything, if we type in die, we'll see the numbers with the line number of 1. So this means that we're starting at the first item in this row. Now if these go long, and let's say there's 350 items, then each one of these numbers inside of the square brackets will show the item that's starting the beginning of the line. Now we might want to do something more useful with this. So now we've done our atomic vector, and now we want to make a dice with two die. So we do that, and so now we'll type in sample, and die, and size equals 2. Now in our protocode, we may have said die, comma 2. That we wrote down as we were thinking about this. So now if I enter this and I hit enter, nothing seems to happen, but if I type in dice, I have a 4-3. Now if I type in dice again or press the up button, I get 4-3. If I hit dice again, I get, you guessed it, 4-3, because dice is storing the initial run of the sample. Okay. So now let's take a look at using the sample in a way that seems like a might be smart. We just want to roll our dice and play a game of Monopoly or something. So let's just do that. So we'll do sample die and then size equals 2 and hit enter. And now if I do this again, and if I do this again, if I do this again, we should be seeing a parrot sometime along here. Of course, maybe because we're doing demos, parrots are being real shy. This isn't the case though. Because the values are taken out in each run, I won't get any duplicates. So now I need to fix that. So I go ahead and pick my sample, and I did that by pressing the up arrow, and then I hit comma, and I do replace and equal, and I type in true, all capitals, and hit enter. And now, if I keep doing this, I should see a duplicate after about 5. There we go. And so I get 2, 2, and that's duplicate. Let's see if we what we get this time. 1, 6, 7, 7. We lost because it wasn't the come out. Okay, now we have looked at how to create a sample, how to create a random space sort of that produces our dice. And we want to reuse these values. So we reuse the values inside of our space by setting replace equals to true. Now we want to create a function. Functions are really important, especially if you're doing a lot of work. Now, if you do your functions down here in the console, like I'm doing, instead of up here in source, then they won't get saved. But if I'm doing them up here, they get saved as a file. So let's go ahead and do something like the row dem bones that I did in the PowerPoint deck. So now I'm going to type in Rollin' Bones, which sounds more like something out of Star Trek. So now I'm going to type in my function, parentheses, no default value, and my curly braces, deleting the trailing edge one. I hit enter and I get really don't get anything because this isn't running in the console, so the plus symbol doesn't show up. Now I'm going to add in a function of die and assign that 1 to 6 dice assigned sample die size equals 2, replace equals true, and I'll hit enter again. And notice the true went to capital, which is a pretty nice feature. And space over, true, and now I'll do mean dice and hit enter again. Just because that's what I do. And now I hit the parentheses or the curly braces. If I select this entire function and I hit run, let's see what happens. So I expect unexpected in. Okay, now I found an error. I had misspelled the word function. So let's go ahead and select this again. And we'll run it. And we can see that it didn't actually do anything. But if I type in roll, type in Z, and now I have annoying noises, but I'll type in roll M bones, and I get a 4. Okay, let's take a look at creating arguments in our application. Right now, our function takes no arguments and it uses none. So now what we want to do is add the ability to input arguments in our function. This is relatively easy to do, and if you've been programming with other languages, this will seem fairly straightforward. So I'm going to do a new function called RowDemBones. And assign it function, and now I'm going to give it a default value. This will prevent errors from showing up on your screen, but errors aren't necessarily bad, so you need to evaluate whether or not a argument, default argument, is worthwhile for you. Sample. Now I'm going to add my argument, randomizer. Size equals 2. And replace equals true all caps. Then I want to run a function on them, so this time I think I'll do the sum of the dice. And that should do it. So now if I run these, I will see that I have my randomizer in place, so I'll go ahead and run it. And if I do that again, we can see that we get different values of the sum of the two numbers. But we look at that and we're a little suspicious because the sum should not be coming up with a percentage. So let's see if we can run this again. And so we see that the function is working down here. And let's go ahead and row down bones up here. And run it And let's see what happens. Nothing. Okay, so we can see that now the rhodium bones is operating. And now let's take a look at what happens if we change our default value to something mildly more interesting. So instead of doing 1 through 6, let's do 1 through 100, and we should see a sizable increase in our sum. Okay, so it couldn't find rhodium bones, but it could find rhodium bones plural. So let's try that again, 1 through 100, and we see that our number is quite a bit bigger. So this is the way that we would input our atomic vector, is simply by typing it in here. Okay, so we've discussed arguments and functions and how to use them. So in our video, we've talked a little bit about how to use RStudio. Again, the R script up here can be implemented by doing File, New, R script. And then down here we have our console. Whatever we type into console is basically lost. Anything we type into here, we can do File, Save, and we can save it as our demo app. And so I'll take some greatly named file by the name of, let's say, our demo 4. And what we're doing is we're saving the entire project, not our script. So now let's go ahead and select our script and save. And now this is our demo 4 project, and we can reuse this. Okay. So in conclusion, we have discussed how to use RStudio to do some very rudimentary experiments. And these experiments allow us to examine how the dice roll functions. We've added functions, we've talked about how to add default arguments and how to have arguments. We've used existing functions and we've created our own functions. I hope you've found this useful and are able to apply this quickly. In our next video, we will discuss how to create a deck of cards. So using a $700 computer and some time, I can create what essentially I can buy at the dollar store for a dollar. Thank you very much. This is Sam Stokes, over and out.